You're watching New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave 62. Unbelievable. We have not been taken off the air yet. It's incredible. We must be doing something right. With me this week, Brian Kilby, JD, a special guest, Mr. JD hey. Church of Fanboy Versus and RFC fame, Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, XV, the silent XV, and Rob. Guys, how are you doing?
Awesome.
Awesome. I'm doing archaeology.
Awesome. Very nice. Very nice. This is going to be a stacked show. Awesome show. JD is joining us to do a couple reviews, and we'll do that in a couple seconds. Later in the show, we'll talk about the 3DS a little bit, the PlayStation phone, just a little bit. Speaking of 3DS, the batteries may suck, but we'll get into that. Some Kinect news, and the topic is going to be talking about the CES highlights, and not necessarily directly video game related, but certainly what we're going to talk about is going to make your video gaming better than ever, in theory. So to start off the show, I'm sure most of you guys, or I hope most of you guys, have seen the documentary King of Kong.
Yes.
We talked about it a couple times in the show, previous shows. Well, it turns out the King of Kong is a documentary about the world record for Donkey Kong play.
Yes.
And of course, the hero was
Billy Mitchell.
Yes, Billy Mitchell.
He's my hero.
The anti-hero, but Brian's real life hero.
I love Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell, the on-again, off-again record holder. And then the person who was really portrayed.
Steve Wiebe.
I'm
friends
hero.
With him on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
How many friends does he have on Facebook?
A lot.
Yeah. Is it really him?
Yeah, it's really him.
So it was basically good versus evil for the crown of Donkey Kong. You with me? Well, it turns out there's a new Donkey Kong champion, and it is neither of these men. So plastic surgeon Hank Chien has beaten Steve Wiebe's Donkey Kong record.
Whoa.
So how about that? Tough things, King of Kong. You know, the King of Kong documentary for a while, and I assume it's still on, they're going to do a fictional reimagination of that
yes,
documentary.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Now they're going to have to write in this plastic surgeon because he's better than both of them.
This could add a new element to it because it's like I use my surgical precision and thought process to really infiltrate Donkey Kong.
Yes. At the end of the movie, he runs in wearing his surgeon coat and his getup and all this stuff. It'd be awesome.
It's like Steve Wiebe's like he's playing in the garage and, you know, playing the sad music and the text scrolls by and you're like, yeah, he did it. Yeah. And then the surgeon, F you bitches, I did it. And he runs back off.
So before we get to JD's reviews, if you're wondering, so here, what is the world record for Donkey Kong? Well, I'll tell you. So back in August, Billy Mitchell, Brian's hero,
yes.
Beat the Donkey Kong high score with 1,062,800 points, which was 1,100 points better than the previous record, Steve Wiebe's record.
Wow.
Then a month later, Steve Wiebe came back and beat that record with 1,064,500 points. Which was terrific until the surgeon came along and blew them all away with 1,068,000 points. So, and it takes quite a long time to play. Like, I think a couple hours of solid Donkey Kong play to reach that level. So, who says they aren't athletes, huh?
And look at that. And the guy's picture, he's still got his tie on perfectly and everything. He's like,
you know...
He's a monster. It's a machine.
There's probably like another story behind it. It's like a tale of sadness, a tale of patheticness. Steve Wiebe's wife. I left some bitch. Didn't get out of the garage that Donkey Kong machine. And then the surgeon came along and...
The wife of a gamer.
Broke a hole in the wall. I left. He broke the wall over to the surgeon guy. I had at Denny's for like 5 hours till he calmed down. I'm going to miss little Jimmy though.
Now, I'm not making this up, but this is actually an awesome transition to JD, and I'm going to look this up, but I think, and I swear this is true, I think they've done studies on the spouses or significant others of MMO players, And so I'm going to try to look that up for next week and have that. Speaking of MMO players,
hey,
who are happily married, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Yes, yes. A very happy household. JD.
Very happy household.
JD, you've been playing DCU Online and Cataclysm. Sort of. And now you are ready to talk to us about both. So take it away, sir.
Yeah. So, I'll start with DC Universe Online. I played that the least, because I was in beta for that. And that just came out. It was just released yesterday, so there's lots of people playing it. Not me, because I was going to buy it. As far as the game itself, I mean, the basic concept, and because we released a little bit, but not everything. The basic story, and you kind of get this from the trailer, is that a Lex Luthor from the future has come back in time in order to help the current heroes of the DC Universe save the future from Brainiac. And the way that he's done that is through these little things called Exobytes. And they are programmed with superpowers of heroes from future Luthor's time. And he unleashes them on the planet, and they infect, I guess if you will, regular people, and give them a certain power set. So that's the story behind how all of these heroes are coming about. So it's exactly like we had said before. You are not getting to play Batman or Superman or any actual DC heroes. Nor are you getting to play any of the like powerhouse kind of characters. For example, Green Lanterns. You know, they're off limits. You're not going to be able to be a Green Lantern in this universe. As far as the game mechanics go, I went through and I played quite a while with the character creation set. You can either be a hero or a villain, and you choose a hero or a villain mentor based on how you want to use your power. So, for example, on the hero side, you can choose between Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman. And they consider Superman to be, you know, sort of a powerful, brawling sort of character. Batman to be more subterfuge, detective-ish. And Wonder Woman to be like
the
divine
girl?
Or magic. Yeah.
Girl. Slap it.
But divine or magic, you know, more mystical, I guess, if you will. And then on the villain side, I believe it was the Joker, which is exactly the same as Batman. Luthor, which is exactly the same as Superman.
Not lazy.
Yeah, and some other character, some random villain that they pulled out that you've never heard of for the mystical deal. So I had no idea who that character was, nor did I care. So as far as the actual character creation, once you choose your mentor and you can choose your power set, you can choose from like blasts, fire, ice, mental blasts, like mind blasts. I mean, it was very basic power sets that you could choose from. And then you could spend like hours on the character creation side because there was this minute amount of control. And I mean, playing through that part of the game, it was almost like they stole it directly from City of Heroes. I mean, there was almost no difference between the character creation for this game and the character creation for City of Heroes. It was almost identical. And if you played City of Heroes or played the demo for that, you know what I'm talking about. But I mean, in fact, though, I would say that the City of Heroes is actually a little bit better because you can more finely control some of the elements, whereas I kept finding that as I was trying to put things together in the DC Universe Online, I couldn't quite get things where I wanted. And it may have been that it was beta too. There wasn't a lot of like symbols available and letters. So it was really, and you could only choose between a certain like palette. So once you chose your basic palette, which was basically three tone,
you didn't have a lot of control as far as.
I'm sorry, JD. Rob, okay. I think just swallow this microphone. You know, when you're learning to speak into a mic, they say swallow the mic to get up close. Rob,
right?
It's just an expression.
You can back up.
Sorry,
just an expression. Yeah. You know, I had a quick question, JD, on sure. on DCU, just to back up a little bit. So, when it first came out that you wouldn't actually be playing as the villains and the heroes, and you would actually be something else. I think there's a little bit of backlash where people were kind of taken aback by that, disappointed at the very least. So when you were playing, was that, I mean, did that bother you at first? And did you eventually like get over it? Were you able to get into the game as kind of like this outside character in this world?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was getting to. Once you go through the character creation and everything, the first thing that you're basically set on a sort of a tutorial mission, which is not uncommon for an MMO. In the tutorial mission, you were infected with an exobite and then captured by Brainiac's ship. And so you're having to fight your way out of the ship. And along the way, you get in touch with Oracle, who's one of the characters in the DC universe. And she sort of helps, like, guide you out of the ship and... you know, kind of directs you where to go.
Did she, like, hack into it or something? How would Oracle know
what the Brainiac ship's like? Yeah, she hacks into the system. I mean, she's essentially trying to hack into the system and, you know, help guide you out, open doors and things, and to try to get you out of the ship. And you go through this whole deal, and then you kind of get to, like, almost a mini boss fight at the end. And then Superman shows up and, like, helps you fight. So, you know, I mean, in that sense, and then when you get out, your starting area is, like, in this police department, and there's several other, like, DC characters that are there that you can talk to and interact with, some heroes, some villains. So, I mean, you're essentially creating your own hero to interact in that world. So, it's just as immersive as any other MMO. I mean, in the sense that you're not playing, you know... when you're playing World of Warcraft, you're not playing as Thrall or you're not playing as King Wynn. You're playing as someone, you know, a peasant or someone, you know, someone that's making their way through this world. And that's true of just about any MMO. So if you're going to play an MMO in the DC universe, you kind of have to expect that you're not going to be picking up playing as Batman. Otherwise, you'd have 500 Batman playing.
See... the logic fail with this game because it sounds like a great, you know, it just sounds like a fun game. Hey, I get to be a superhero too around all these other classic superheroes. The complete logic fail in this is the fact that, and it's a good thing that, that Superman's a complete goody-goody because he gets you literally stop and look at everyone. I don't need any of you.
Yeah.
I could do this all, really. I'm being lazy today. Batman, you're really smart, right? Yeah, well, you know what? I'm invincible.
Yeah.
I can just keep effing up till I get it right, okay?
All
right.
On the down note, there's a couple of things I was sort of surprised with, and again, it may have been in beta, but you could actually pick a speed movement right away. And one of the you can choose between speed, what they called acrobatics, and then flight. So speed, of course, is just running. Acrobatics, think like Beast, maybe. You know, like sort of leaping and jumping along the ground, or maybe like Hulk or something like that. And then, of course, flight. But who wouldn't pick flight?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you were specifically making a speed character. But with flight, you can get anywhere. And I did that in the demo. I mean, in the tutorial mission, I'm flying around. So, you know, there really weren't any ground obstacles in my way. I could literally fly through the mission.
I guess my question is, they have to find a way to balance that out, right? Because, I mean, flight trumps... pretty much everything. Well, so there's got to be a way that you can't pair certain things, right? Speed and flight.
You can't have speed and flight. And flight has its disadvantage. If you're a ranged fighter, like if you have ranged blasts and you have the ability to fly, or if you're up against someone that can fly, you can shoot them in the sky because it does have auto targeting. So you could lock on target onto them and shoot them out of the sky. So they're going to have to come into range of you. I mean, it's not that big of an advantage per se, because there's ranges and everything as well. But it does have advantage as far as gameplay, because if you can fly, you can get places easier. I mean, you can get to places easier, typically. Up onto buildings or into certain locations, typically, if you can fly, versus, you know, having to move along the ground, even if you're moving very quickly.
And JD, can you confirm for the chat that there's no secret IDs, there's no secret identities or any of that kind of element?
Not that I encountered, and I wouldn't know why you would do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No,
in fact, I read in a review that they, I guess at the very beginning of development, they considered it and just, it would be too complex and there's not enough payoff, and they just dropped it pretty early, just even trying.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary. The big thing that really annoyed me is that I went through and I spent, good Lord, 30, 45 minutes to an hour really crafting and designing the look of my character. Was really particular about what goggles I wanted them to have on, what kind of suit, what gloves, all those kinds of things, because you can customize all that. It's all in the character creation piece. And then I got out in the world and I started fighting, and I picked up a really nice pair of gloves and a really nice faceplate. But it was a different art style than what I had chosen, and I didn't have the choice. Like, it didn't default to the costume I had created, it defaulted to whatever type it was. Hmm. So instead of having goggles, I had to have the domino mask, which is not what I wanted. So I was really disappointed in that aspect of the design, because if you're for a superhero, I mean, the next thing to your power set is your look. And if all of the time to have in the character creation that you're going to have a particular look, and then that's going to get thrown away as soon as you start picking up gear, fail. You know,
right.
That was a big fail for me. In fact, I think that was one of the reasons I didn't play it very much, which sounds like a stupid reason, but I mean,
it kind of does.
Well, but the thing is like I said, your look is part of that character. And if you're going to have a 45 minutes devoted to making a character, and then you're just going to go through and, you know, as soon as you pick up new equipment, it's going to change the look of the character.
Yeah, and you don't like it. It's a turnoff. I could see where it discourages you wanting to, like, stare at this character for hours on end.
Yeah, and the controls were wonky. The thing about it, I played on PC, and the thing about the other, you know, big downside is that it really felt like the controls were designed for the PS3, which didn't port very well to a keyboard control set. So it's very hard to control the character using a keyboard and a mouse versus having dual sticks like on the PS3 control, where you would have, you know, one stick for movement and one stick for aiming, and then be able to use your trigger buttons or whatever to control like the character. So, you know, I'm sure the gameplay as far as individual play is better on the PS3 just from a control standpoint. Otherwise, you may need to get a control stick for your PC in order to be able to play it a little bit easier on PC.
Mm-hmm. Get you one of those Xbox controllers for the computer, man. Should be an easy port over.
Yeah, that would probably.
Now, does it have any of those goofy things that most MMOs have, like the little dance thing or the little parties or whatever? Because I can just see someone with their Batman Mary Sue character busting out all of a sudden, hey, I'm naked and dancing in a town square, you know.
and then she kills everybody and takes all their things.
Yeah.
No, but I did make one mistake when I made my character, is you have like a stance that you can choose, like an attitude. And I chose kind of cocky, and sassy. So you kind of cross your arms and, you know, like, kick back on one of your heels. And I thought that looked kind of funny in the character creation screen.
You chose the effeminate stance?
No.
Chose the sassy stance.
Yeah. But if I was Superman stance, go ahead,
like,
make fun of me.
No, I think it was maybe not hands crossed, maybe like hands on the hip or whatever. Anyway, but what I didn't realize is that your character defaults to that when you're just standing around.
Oh, so, really? That's awesome.
So you don't really have a choice once you've made it. So if you choose a really lame stance like that, they do that all the time. So
awesome. So thumbs up or thumbs down? Would you recommend it or not?
I mean, I didn't buy it, and so I guess that kind of means thumbs down. It's thumbs down in the sense that There's already a really great game called City of Heroes that you can play that is probably better from a design standpoint than this game, even if it doesn't look as good because this has updated graphics. But on the other hand, you know, you are playing in the DC universe and it's got, you know, that appeal going. So, I'd say
give it a try if you're a DC fan, but otherwise maybe not.
Yeah, if you're already like a game, if you're already like an MMO player and just kind of peripherally interested in DC, you're probably better off trying City of Heroes.
Interesting. So what about Cataclysm, my friend?
Cataclysm.
Wait, DC Universe. What? In the limited, I mean, you said you didn't play it too much, but what was the amount of participation that you saw there? I mean, was it like, are there a lot of just like non-playable characters that run around when there's nobody around, or is it deserted, or how does that work?
It was pretty busy, but again, this was during beta, and it was during one of the beta expansions, so there was a lot of people logged in at the time.
Right.
So, I mean, it was pretty busy. I mean, there's a decent number of NPCs. It was enough that the world felt populated, which is always important, especially in a starting area.
That's good.
So
okay, stuck deaf guy in the background.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, like I said, I ran through one room, and then, like, Fire, who's a character, you know, who's kind of popular right now as far as in, like, the Justice League Generation Lost series that's going on right now, is she was, like, you know, standing there. So it's kind of like, oh, cool, that's Fire. But, yeah.
Did you go hit on her?
I did a little bit. She's hot.
But right. I kept pushing your dance button.
She's kind of lingered around a little bit.
I'll be here all week.
Sat on your heels, huh? You rock back on your heel.
Like, yes, hey, I did. I kind of rocked back on my heel, did my thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Sorry,
nice.
Cataclysm.
Sorry. So, Cataclysm. As we mentioned.
PopCon exclusive, after all.
No.
Very nice. Nice reference, Rob.
Thank you.
The expansion to Dark Age of Camelot is Cataclysm. Now, Cataclysm has brought several changes to the world of Azeroth. First of all, the Shattering. I think they're calling it the Shattering. Basically, Deathwing, big scary dragon of lore in the World of Warcraft universe, sort of destroyed large portions of the universe. What it did functionally was sort of reorganize the starting areas and some of the areas within the world. So a lot of things have changed in a geographic standpoint as far as the game goes. The advantage is that a lot of the new character areas flow better into each other. It's helped to organize some of the zones so that they're better controlled by one faction or other. That helps with ganking and other things, but it basically makes the zones a little bit safer for leveling in if you're on a PvP. They didn't add any new main crafts to the game. They've added a new what's called a secondary craft, which secondary crafts are kind of designed for color. They're not really necessarily designed to be game-changing elements. So previously there had been first aid and fishing, which are exactly as they sound. First aid you can use to heal wounds after fights. Fishing, you can actually fish in pretty much any standing water.
You become like a fishers of men.
Something like that. Except
you don't want to fish in standing water. That's
gross. But the new one that they've added is archaeology, and it kind of has a couple of different elements. There's a lot of people that like the lore in the world, and the lore in the Warcraft universe is pretty rich. So some of it unlocks some story elements. I think there's a few like trinkets or items that you can get that unlock things like pets or mounts. So again, they're not things that really are going to change your character as far as how they're going to actually play, like in a dungeon situation or anything like that. But they do enhance the character, and it's probably something that you know you can do. You're not limited in the number of secondary crafts that you can have, so you can pick up all three of those and actually do those.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is. It's fun, and the way it works as like a survey sort of process. You have to you get into the area where the archaeology can be done, and you have to put down these survey sticks, and it tells you basically, it's basically hot or cold. You know, it's basically you're close, you're not, and it kind of points you in the direction.
Can you do this like as a wolf man or like as a fish person or like a human being when you do this sort of stuff?
You're just whatever your character is. There are werewolves now in the game.
Do you think werewolves really care about archaeology?
In the world.
Well, they like digging up bones, don't they?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
According
nice.
To popular movies, they like shorts, so I'm pretty sure.
Hey, nice thing.
Are they looking for ancient shorts?
Two of the other elements that were added in the game were two new races, which is the goblins and the worgen. So the goblins are pretty much what they sound like, traditional sort of goblins from any kind of fantasy world. The worgen are a race of werewolves. So the worgen became a part of the alliance, and the goblins became a part of the horde. Now all you, not Edward's the vampire. Who's the other guy? Jacob.
Team Jacob. It's all about team Scott Jerry. Howard, y'all.
Yes. Team Jerry.
He can't play basketball. It's all about Scott Howard.
If you're alliance, but you know. I'm horde all the way, so screw those people.
So
need to hold back to your mom jokes right now.
Let him fly the color.
Horde's all Todd Howard, part two, man. That was terrible.
So JD, I know you've said before, like Cataclysm really changes the landscape of the game. Like even if you don't have Cataclysm, it alters the game. For somebody who plays World of Warcraft, is this like a must have? I mean, is it that
good? Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing, one of the big changes for high level characters, I mean, first of all, they increased the level range from 80 to 85. They have expanded the dungeon system so you can actually go to some of what previously were low level dungeons. They now have what's called a heroic mode, which is a basically it's a souped up mode. You have to be really well geared to do those dungeons. So they have heroic modes for Shadowfang Keep. I think Dead Mines now both have heroic modes, and you can do those at 85. And the other big thing is they've now allowed flying in Azeroth and in Kalimdor. So as far as in previously, you could only fly in the previous expansion zones, which was Northrend and Outland, which is like another planet, but that's too long to explain. Anyway, so now...
We wouldn't want to take this too long or anything, would we?
No. But now you can actually fly in Azeroth, and that is absolutely huge. So, for example, I'm doing this archaeology, and I can now, instead of having to take flight paths, I can actually fly to the different archaeology areas to do my picking. Also, I'm like skilling up my mining from zero because I changed trades. That makes all of that stuff a lot easier. So for higher level characters, it's really cool to be able to actually fly through the world and do the different things. So yeah, I mean, if you play the game, if you want to do any of the new high level content, yeah, you're going to have to buy the expansion. And so far, it's been well worth it. There's an entire new zone that's all underwater, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've spoken on that, and clearly it's been a big hit. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's busting all kinds of sales records, and it
lots
seems
of
like everybody
out there. Yeah.
Well, lots of people who love their World of Warcraft, like our own JD Church. Thanks for those reviews. Those were awesome.
I can see myself getting into those games if I let myself. So
we'd never see you again.
Yeah.
It is horribly addictive. If you have any kind of addictive,
thankfully I don't.
Yeah,
you're not addictive at all. You don't have an addictive personality at all.
And if you love repetitive tasks, you know
I don't.
Yes,
thanks.
We will never see Brian again. Okay, well, awesome, JD. Thank you, sir. Moving on to a little bit of news, and then we'll talk about our topic. We'll sink our teeth into that. Okay, so it looks like January 27th, we may get the PSP 2 finally. Thank goodness, right?
My God, I've been waiting so long.
But several sites are saying that Sony is going to make the big unveiling on the 27th. So get ready for that. Speaking of Sony... more photos, more video this time of the PlayStation phone. This time it was caught in the wild with somebody actually playing what we all want to play on our phone, and that is PlayStation 1 video games.
Wow.
Who doesn't want to do that?
I would want to play Flash immediately.
A 4-inch screen, maybe-ish, 3.5,
something like that.
It might
actually look good that way.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You won't notice that this is almost as old as many of our listeners. So it was kind of the wild playing Resident Evil 2 and Rage Racer. Awesome. Resident Evil 2 looked, PS1-y. It looked like Resident Evil 2. I mean, you can count the polygons, basically, but it's 12. On phone, so it's irresistible,
150,000, right? Actually.
Oh. Yeah, well, a 4-inch LCD screen, actually, if you want to be accurate. So, yes, so it looks like, yes, this thing will happen. Yes, it plays all the games you remember from, God, 20 years ago? Nah, like
Crash
15
Bandicoot.
Years ago.
15 years ago, 14.
15 Crash years Bandicoot. Ago, yeah. I don't want to be too harsh on it, right? So, here, moving on to successful handhelds, the 3DS. The 3DS may be region locked.
What?
How dare they? How dare they? So yes, we've gotten so used to regionless handhelds from Nintendo.
In general,
the buck may stop here.
Even
in general too.
Even
yes, that's
Sony.
True. That's true.
Even Sony, PSP. Because Nintendo doesn't do it. Sony doesn't do it.
Yes, but now they're going to do it because it looks like, based on a report, unlike Game Boys from days past, unlike the PSP, unlike the DSs, yes, the 3DS will be region locked. Sucks. Totally sucks.
You mean I can't play a Japanese role-playing game that I don't know how to understand anyway?
No, you can't. You can't play those dating games anymore.
Well, the reason they're not region locked is for people who are traveling. They may want to buy a game when they're in another country.
Yes,
you carry it with you. I mean, you know, so but I don't care.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe absolutely. Nintendo has an absolutely great explanation for this.
Rob's explanation works.
We need money. But, oh, yes, and also dating games, the world needs to be spared.
Pain.
There's a good reason we don't want you playing that game already. And,
we don't want you to be able to take that game to the bathroom with you.
Bathroom gaming is... What flies in some places doesn't always fly other ways. We know he's just bonk to you, but you know.
Bathroom gaming is dangerous, kid.
Yeah, we're just kind of really tired of making these excuses.
Speaking of the 3DS, if you've gotten used to reasonably good battery life in your small electronics, I've got bad news for you, son. So the 3DS, it looks like, is going to be quite the vampire, quite the power hog. It looks like battery life may top out at just 5 hours.
Oh my God.
So if you take it, if you take it on a trip and you're nowhere near an outlet, enjoy it while it lasts because, you know, 5 hours seems like a lot. It's not a lot. It's going to go pretty bad.
Turn off 3D and just, try to make it.
Yeah. Just rock out with 2D.
What does the DS max out at?
8 hours, 8 to 10 hours, isn't it?
Wow.
Roughly around 10,
like twice that.
And I got the lights light up and all that, so I don't. It seems about 10 sounds good. 8, 10.
So hey, that's the price of 3D, right? I've actually spent over the last week quite a bit of time looking at videos of the 3DS in action. Street Fighter 4 looks really good. Dead or Alive, don't. I'm just looking. I'm just doing research. I'm not really looking that closely. Dead or Alive looks good. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, this 3D is not going to be just a gimmick. It's actually going to add to the gameplay. And like I said, it looks really good. With Street Fighter 4 in particular, they've added 3D but kept the 2D play style. And allegedly, it doesn't screw with your mind too much. It doesn't mess you up too much. So we'll see. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You don't want people's minds being literally blown out by 3D and 2D living together, cats and dogs, all that stuff. Necessary.
Sure, you've got brain on my shirt.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought I rotted it already.
Yeah,
that'll be awesome if we have a bunch of like zombified.
Just real quick on the 3DS, sort of taking a gamer's perspective, and I say Kim's a non-gamer. She plays games more than I do. But she's not interested in the 3DS. She doesn't care. She thinks that it's a gimmick. And I would say that she represents sort of more what the mainstream, you know, audience is going to be. So, we'll see.
I would tend to agree. I mean, right now, even movies, right, are 3D is pretty gimmicky at this point. It's just to make it look a little bit more realistic, a little bit like this and that. But for gaming, you know, for a handheld gaming device, especially, you know, 3D, you know, DS is, their gaming is great. You know, their graphics are a lot really good compared to what you would remember handheld gaming. It's come a long way, but is it ready for 3D? I don't really think it is. I mean, Nintendo has always been known to be in the forefront, so they're always just going to make it better and better, but I don't know. At this point, it's still a gimmick. It hasn't been proven at all yet. So
it's totally a gimmick, and this is coming from the DS fan, but you know what?
I'm buying one.
Day one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm only looking at Usenet on my DSi right now while we're talking. just if I could.
Awesome.
But here's the thing. The DS touchscreen is just a gimmick, and that's what sold it. I mean, it's playing Cooking Mama and Dogs and all that. So for all those hard and jaded gamers, it's like, yeah, I don't care if I can touch the screen or not. It's just there. It's a good gaming console. 3D, okay, that's cool for 5 seconds. I don't care anymore. Everyone else is going to, you know, that's where it's like, whoa, really?
Yeah, touch wasn't, like, eliminated from, like, DS games, but it was certainly minimized. Like, the early DS games were all touch-based. I mean, yeah. I remember playing Castlevania, and like, oh, God, I have to draw another sealed.
Seal.
But, you know, they got rid of that crap, and, you know, there's a good balance.
It's only those casual games now, if you'll notice.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an extra button in most games, not like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. But, just like your Wii, it's like all the casual games, it's like, okay, fling it this way, fling it that way, all the rest of the games, it's a controller, you can just sit with your arms crossed and push the buttons every once in a while. And that's the games most people are playing. So that's, it's like the 3D, it's like, wow, that looks really cool, whatever. You know, then there's going to be these dudes, and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, you know, especially, you know what's going to sell this if it
stoned
works?
Stoned gaming.
In-store displays.
In-store displays, yes.
Yeah, so if they can pull off, off a really effective or really cool in-store display, they're going to sell them by the ton.
It's what sold me on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Well,
They had tons of in-store displays.
Early adopter there, too. But honestly, if all of a sudden next thing I was like, hey, what's this Super FX 3?
Must
Dude,
have.
It's in 3D. It's a new thing.
Yes,
Yeah, it's a chip that allows us to do 3D.
So the DS has a history of success. You know what is getting a history of success? The Kinect. The Kinect has sold 8 million units in just 2 months.
Holy crap.
Unbelievable. And the 360 hit 50 million units worldwide. And there's now 30 million users on Xbox Live. So you do the math and a healthy majority of Xbox owners are on Xbox
That's
Live.
That's freaking awesome.
You know, Microsoft. While Sony's like, why?
Yes.
They like, claim they have 60 million, but I mean,
they may have 60.
We all know.
Let's do the jaded Nintendo guy here. It's like, the Wii is not hardcore, you're right, but petting a cat is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys are hardcore dancing in your living room while I'm just being a casual children's toy dancing in my living room. We're just kind of calling it, oh, yeah, yeah, you hardcore gamers. Yeah, you know what?
So we talked a little bit about 3D earlier in the show, by which I mean like 2 minutes ago. Here's another little quick story about 3D. Vizio, and this one may blow your mind literally. So because this doesn't sound right. Something sounds wrong here. So Vizio.
Actually, it sounds kind of cool.
It sounds cool. It also sounds, like I said, like it may blow your brain out of your left ear.
Mind-blowing.
Vizio. So Vizio has created a TV that is capable of head-to-head gaming on the same screen. It projects two images at the same time. So what happens is you wear a pair of glasses. One's labeled left, and the other guy or girl wears the other pair of glasses, and they're labeled right. And the TV projects at the same time two images, and you each see a different image against each other, staring at this crazy space age contraption.
You know,
I don't know about applications for gaming, but if it's some headphones in there. This would be perfect for if you've got two people who will watch different shows in the same room.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, they already do that. They already have TVs that kind of like split it down the middle and they're angled out a little bit so you could actually watch two different ones at the same time.
That is so...
This seems like the 3D age version of picture in picture to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you're playing a video game. Let's see what the sports score is.
So basically...
make GoldenEye amazing, though.
So, no, it's like, basically, it's like this. Here's your new 3D TV. It costs $4,000. Okay. I get to be the player on the right. Hold up my glasses. Oh, okay. All right.
Put on these stupid glasses.
Oh man, there's four players.
Yeah, where's that four grand?
Okay, man, this is awesome. We're all using the same. Yeah,
Vizio is also doing a 21:9 TV, which they could also sort of just split it down the middle and basically have two full TVs out of that. That would be pretty cool.
But, it's pretty awesome.
The 21:9 TV is kind of crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Is it too soon for that?
I don't think it's too soon for it. I don't know that it's ever been a good time for it. But like, cinephiles, I think it's like the TV to get.
I'll fall into the home theater set, but how much sales is that really going to be though?
But the point is though, cinephiles aren't going to buy a Vizio.
Good point. Yeah, I'll give you that one. Vizio makes really nice TVs. I have one myself.
Vizio's
I
great.
Love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not
for people like that. It's not big enough.
Yeah. This is amazing. I'm processing this information you guys are giving me, and it's really some TV company was like, okay, I just read some old Usenet posts on Google, what people did to deal with the four screens on GoldenEye, you know, just buy a bigger TV. I got an idea, guys. Let's make a really big TV and tell them it's specifically for us. And give them some glasses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can just buy a big TV. What the hell?
By the way, will they ever make glasses cool enough that you won't be embarrassed wearing them?
No, what
well, here, here's the idea. Aren't I already wearing glasses if I'm going to be doing this, probably?
Here's what's going to happen. All the people that sell... like iPhone cases and crap are going to make cases for glasses that you're going to put on
awesome.
Over the glasses.
A bunch of zebra striped yeah. glasses.
I got some damn thing glasses. On a chain hanging off this end, and I got some stupid thing, and all of a sudden my head's really tired because they're really heavy.
Law has a point, though. What's going to sell this is when they can do those glasses like as a piece of plastic that you just put over your lenses of your regular glasses and you walk around with them. And when the displays are ubiquitous, I mean, everyone will be wearing them, so...
Yeah, and running into walls.
Yeah,
because of all the
you know what the funny thing is.
Look at that Hello Kitty hanging off that guy's eyes.
Yeah, panicking, screaming as they walk down the street.
You know those? You know the drink hats that you stick the cans into.
Do I? Yes.
Well, I mean that they would make us glasses like that.
Actually, what's going to happen? It's going to be like that episode of Next Generation where everyone plays that game.
Awesome. That really awful Wesley episode. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yes, video games will kill you. They are the end of society. This is something we'll tweet. It's not exactly a story for the show, but it's a cool one for the tweeps. So a Lenovo, too bad this won't actually become like a production model, but Lenovo has put together a cool arcade cabinet where you slip in
I saw that.
Laptop.
I don't think that was Lenovo. I think that was a Lenovo.
Well, it uses Lenovo stuff. Somebody has rigged up a cool like mini arcade cabinet where all you got to do is slip in your laptop.
Yeah, it was a contest that Lenovo had sponsored on making like cool gaming rigs and crap. So I saw that was awesome.
This deserves accolades. Yes, it's awesome. So anyway, you'll see it. You slip a laptop in and you have instant arcade.
You connect it via that via USB. And there's a fan underneath it as well to keep the heat on it minimized. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I want that.
Yes. We'll do a similar tweet with an iPad that has a similar setup.
Neat.
Cool stuff. you know what? We mentioned this in our sister show, but it deserves mentioning. For our new Soundwave listeners, if you're a player of War for Cybertron, and God bless you if you are, because we're trans fans too, the Cybertron map and character DLC packs are half off on Xbox Live. So run out and get you some. That's a great game. Brian still hasn't played it.
How long is that good for?
No idea.
Let's check it out. I guess it doesn't really say.
No, I checked it on Xbox Live this afternoon and nothing. They haven't. They didn't say when it was going to stop, but it's most. It's a lot of like the older Activision games that they're going to let you get 50% off.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A couple more stories before we jump to our topic, which is a quick look at CES gadgety stuff. This has been kind of a gadgety show, so this works quite well. Sega is crazy. I heard about stuff like this actually a couple years ago. I heard about this story. Actually, in Europe, Europeans were actually doing this, believe it or not. Well, Sega has brought gaming to the bathroom, to the men's bathroom, with urine-controlled video games. Yes.
I love this idea.
Yes. A little humor. They brought a little competition to public urination, because that's what we all want, right?
So second grade.
Yeah, that's right. This is not a game. This is a sport, friend.
This is not sport. This is urinal etiquette. Like,
yeah, this is, well, you know.
If I'm at one urinal, you skip one and get away from me.
You don't want to mess with
me. You know, basically what Sega did is they've one-upped the looking over the stall. Hey, little guy.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a trough game. It's like, that's right.
What I'm
wondering is how long before there's the home version of this system.
Oh my
god! You know,
it's like the water balloon race.
If there
one fills up the balloon with urine first wins.
If there's ever a time to bring back Sega early '90s advertising, this would be the time.
Actually,
right here.
That would actually probably be like the number two game where you're playing Sega. Sorry.
Awesome. So if you're wondering what exactly are talking about, what does this thing look like? So what they do is a screen is installed above select urinals in Tokyo. Of course, Tokyo, right? And it allows men to play four mini games. Four of them. See, you know, who is king of urination? Right? Not ruination, the transformer, urination. So games include things like...
So basically at the bar at 4 o'clock in the morning, that guy's been there all day, he's winning.
Yeah, he's got a big gallon of, jug of water.
He's really just like...
This game. He's not leaving.
Oh, wait, we're playing a game?
So a couple of the games, just so you know, like I said, Graffiti Eraser. So that's a good game, right? There's a moral there. There's a good one in which, you use the pressure of your pee to clean graffiti from walls. Very nice. Very nice.
Wow.
It's like that would be like an awesome superhero, I'm thinking. The Graffiti Eraser. You know, instead of being arrested for public urination,
he's a planet. Someone has that there be a superhero.
DC Universe Online.
Absolutely. That should be an expansion pack, right? Graffiti Eraser. Yeah. And then, of course, I have to talk about this one because this is Tokyo, right?
Uh-huh.
So one of the games is called The North Wind and Her.
What?
So what does that entail? Well, quote, The North Wind and Her is a game in which your pee is the wind trying to lift up a woman's skirt.
Oh my god.
Yes, because naturally when you think of, you know, urinals and games, you think of women's skirts.
I mean, that's a whole new level of like a water sport. That's
the thing is,
literally,
I'm laughing,
you're
especially
earning points here, baby.
I'm laughing, especially with the game called Making Them Piss. But a question that Sega completely just like announcing the Dreamcast right after Saturn, they dropped off the Saturn and all sorts. They did another complete, just drop the ball on this one. Not a single Fireman game.
It's true. That's true. But hey, what's more important, burning buildings or hot skirts?
Huh? Nah, man. Who hasn't been like, Fireman, put out the fire, wee!
Before we jump to our topic, real quick, this is near and dear to my heart, but Marvel vs. Capcom 3 debuts in actually a couple months, less than a couple months. Rob and I actually have a good friend, Hooper, who was always big on Mayor Mike Hagger in Final Fight. He used to talk about that all the time. When it was nostalgic and we thought we'd never see Mayor Mike Hagger again, but we're getting him in Marvel vs.
Mayor Mike Hagger, God bless him.
Which is awesome. Yes, the mayor of Metro City and Phoenix is going to be a character. And Capcom has said that Phoenix as you would understand, as you would expect, is one, quite a challenge to program into a game, and two, when she loses control of the Phoenix, as mentioned, right, she's probably the most powerful character they've ever done. So here's to balanced fighting games.
Here's to that goddamn 7-year-old who just pushed all the buttons at one time.
Right, and took like 50% life. You can't do it 2 times in a row. Okay, so that brings us to our topic. We're going to skip ahead. Keep New Soundwave kind of peppy and kind of, you know, moving along. So CES has been taking place this month. And there's been lots of good stuff. It's been light on, I think, actual direct video game news, but it's been really heavy on the stuff that's going to make your video game playing better than ever. So I wanted to talk a little bit
sponge
about...
Sponge gloves.
Sponge gloves?
Yes, sponge gloves.
My power gloves.
What?
Robbie the Robot. Yes, no. CES has come a long way. And like I said, especially this year, there's lots of cool gadgets that are going to make video gaming... really awesome. So here's one for you guys to throw at you. So apparently Hyundai is going to have a car that has video game connectivity.
Oh, I'm buying this.
It's a Hyundai Veloster. It's pretty sweet looking too. Actually.
What kind? Yeah, I love my 2011 Sonata. I want a new Hyundai. What's the car? I'll buy this. Well,
It's a little hatchback. It's kind of cool. It's a little sporty.
Never mind.
It's a coupe.
It's not for Brian.
It's like a smaller version of a Genesis, except for they built out a instead of it being only a 2-door, they built a trick door, like a third door, like the Saturn.
The RX-8 like, has a third door.
Except for those are suicide doors, right? Well, the RX-8 has 4 doors, right? It's got 2 regular coupe doors, and then it's got these suicide kickout doors in the back.
I just thought it had a third door. Not that it matters.
Well, this one has a full third door, but they integrated it so well into the end of the front coupe door to the rear pillar. It's like amazing. You barely even know it's there.
Cool. You just barely see the seams, basically, when you look at it. Pretty awesome.
To the C pillar, so it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then, like we said, yes, you can connect your game console choice to the 7-inch screen that's in the car. Hopefully, it's not so close to the driver's side that it's illegal, because, that is illegal. But cool stuff. Another thing that we'll tweet, because you got to see this to believe it, it's not exactly part of CES, but it's timed very well with CES, and it relates to the Veloster. If you like video game-based cars, you're going to love a car that looks like a video game system. So some guy took a Zion XB and made it look almost exactly like a classic NES system. So pretty awesome. Something else that came out of CES, what apparently looks like the first challenger to the iPad. So the Motorola Zoom is apparently the best thing we've seen so far. If you want a tablet, but you don't like Apple or you don't like the iPad for whatever reason, it's a big hit. And one of the things I was going to ask you guys is a tablet. We don't really talk about tablets or gadgets, but this is a good moment to. Is that something that you guys are interested in?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's an iPad, something, you know.
If the iPad wasn't made by Apple, I would have one.
So you've got some history with Apple?
Because the iPad is actually allowed on my corporate network, I might actually get the next revision because I can actually use it for productivity. That's insane. But I'm really looking to get a tablet. I'm leaning toward the Samsung Galaxy Tab. But depending on what the new iPad has to offer, may get that.
It's definitely become like the trendy thing in meetings that I'm around. People have their iPad and their little iPad case that kind of props it up a little bit.
I see those all the time.
You know what? I saw the iPad, you know, the dock that you stand it up and then you connect a keyboard with it, the officially Apple sanctioned one. That was on ABC's World News Tonight. Instead of they used to have a laptop like a Lenovo sitting there, they have one of those there now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Got to be trendier.
Yeah. It's one of those. You're in a meeting, you see the guys looking at that, you just don't go, guys, we're having a meeting, quit playing Sudoku.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
You see Hungry Birds, put it away, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching the news the other day, and it's like this televangelist was in trouble for some whatever reason.
Right.
And the footage of him, yeah, I think it was like a little boy or something. But like he walked away from the thing, and he had an iPad with a sermon on it. It's like, he's guilty.
Yeah.
He's guilty. You know why? Because a mean notebook no longer cuts it for his job. Hmm. I mean, just stuff like that. It's getting ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couple more things real quick. This blows my mind. My TV isn't old, but it's not this new. And what TVs are basically turning into computers, basically. I mean, they're mimicking iPads and iPods and stuff like that because TVs have apps now. And so Samsung has rolled out what can safely be called a smart TV. So at CES, where everybody is kind of touting their new TVs with their, you know, bells and whistles and all that, Samsung really went all out. And so they have released a TV that can bypass, say, you know, the need for like cable or satellite boxes. It does it all.
Oh, yeah.
It streams video. It's got, you know, a web browser. It's got an app store. It's got all kinds of stuff. Which blows my mind, but apparently, you know, that's what TVs are these days. They're basically self-contained computers.
You can watch us on your TV.
You know, it seems to me that over the years, as TVs have developed and grown new gimmicks, they've really overlooked one really crucial thing.
Watching TV?
Not yet, but they're getting close. No, no, what I have yet to see is a TV that can make me popcorn without having to leave sight of the TV.
Yes. You've got a point, sir.
If you can make me a sandwich, I'll buy it. Absolutely.
I want my snack, but I want to watch my house reruns at the same time.
XV9's being ridiculous.
That's what the commercials are for, though.
Yeah, you seriously, know, that is like what commercials are for.
2 years
that's
later.
I don't have time to pop popcorn, melt butter, and put it all in a bowl in the 3.5 minutes that the commercial's on.
That's what the pause button is for.
DVR, buddy.
You know what's going to happen, though? You're going to say, I got my popcorn popping TV. Oh, yeah? Well, I got my Richard Simmons steaming vegetables TV.
Yeah.
I don't think I want a Richard Simmons TV, I mean, Rob.
Will get it.
What you do, XV, is just wait. You know how, like, when there's 5 minutes left until the end of the hour, nothing ever happens there. It's all commercials and the credits. Just go do it.
But with House, that's when they tell you it's not lupus.
It's never lupus.
It's always something stupid.
You know, some other things that we saw from TVs. Not only is, you know, 3D basically is last year's story, so it almost seems like every TV is 3D. But now you add in stuff like Bluetooth support, TVs that are, you know, an inch thin or an inch wide, maybe.
Channel,
you know,
3 still shot, fuzzy.
You know, basically posters that you throw on the wall.
So I wouldn't say that 3D is last year's news. I would say that now it was Sony and Toshiba that were pushing their 3D TVs last year. It's just now
everybody's doing it.
I guess it's true. It's everybody
and their mother. This year is
not just everyone's mother.
Yeah, not just this year. Last year was just 3D TVs. This year it's 3D cameras, 3D camcorders.
Oh, did you see the Sony 3D flip cam sort of thing?
Yeah,
yeah.
They're coming out with like these crazy things that not just limited to, you know, just TVs anymore. It has pretty much invaded all of consumer electronics.
Man, these cheese crackers are in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's like you can reach out and touch them. 3Ds.
I predict that 3D is going to fail because it's an unnatural way of looking at things.
Yeah.
It's just there. Hey, to wrap up the TV thing, this one's for Brian. So, okay, so Samsung has a TV that has, get this, Brian, get ready. This is your next TV. It has, of course, 1080p, but it also has built-in Wi-Fi and support for Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? That's right.
Don't let Kim find out.
Yeah.
Yes. just kind of roll it in about 2 a.m. Yeah. Silently. You just call it a new computer monitor. Like, they're all 50 inches.
Actually, I almost bought a 40-inch computer monitor today.
How much did it end up going for?
It was about $300. It was an $1,800 commercial grade monitor that was used, that was selling at work today.
I told you set your sights too low.
Yeah.
$300 for a 40-inch monitor is not that bad. You probably could have
justified it. And it came with the same webcam that I'm using right now, so.
Well, there you go.
I think this year is actually a lot about, like, the cell phones are coming out with have, you know, the front-facing cameras now. So it's coming, you know, the Skype video calls are going to be on there and everything. And 4G is the big thing now, you know, like LTE is the big thing now. So
IMAX and all that.
That's going to be crazy.
Absolutely. Peter pointed out a really cool phone, the Motorola Atrix. So what makes this more than a phone or an exceptional phone? Well, it can connect via a dock to a mouse, a keyboard, and a monitor. So basically, you just, you know, integrate your phone with your computer and you play games on it and all that stuff. It's amazing. You know, I guess these days everything works with everything else. And oftentimes they literally connect to each other, like, almost completely.
It's
so
awesome.
It's the future. Yeah, it's the future. Absolutely. So I think that should do it for New Soundwave 62. Everybody, thanks for listening. It was a good show. Next week, we'll see what's happening, of course, in the world of gaming. If there's anything that comes out of CES that we didn't talk about that we think is cool, we'll throw that in there too. But until next time, I'm John DeLuna for Rob, JD, our guest, JD Church.
Hey.
Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, XV, and Brian Kilby. I am your fearless host, and we will see you next week.
Special guest.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rec, Bweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.